Life situation can make us to doubt God. When we go through a lot and people see what is happening in our lives, they can actually say things that their God does not exist. Where does your Christianity work? Where is your faith? Where is your God? I think if you are a Christian long enough, you have experienced that. But the book of Jeremiah brings hope that God restores. Just like as Israel experienced a time of losing and being in exile, God restored and promised restoration. God wants to restore whatever you have lost, but you have to put your faith in Him and seek Him as your refuge and be in Him as a stronghold, make Him your stronghold and your refuge. Hi, I'm Temuos Dube. This is His Word, where we read the Word of God. I trust that today's message will bless you. Please sit, listen, and hear what the Word says to you. Today is a continuation of our previous sermon, or it's part two of that sermon that was titled When God Restores. We are looking at that today. When God Restores is part two. We are continuing to read the same book of Jeremiah that we read previously, Jeremiah 33. But today we'll be starting from verse 10 to verse 17. And I will read. Thus says the Lord, in this place of which you say it is a waste without man or beast, in the cities of Judah and the street of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man or inhabitant or beast, there shall be heard again the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for His steadfast love endureth forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste without man or beast, and in all its cities, there shall again be inhabitants of shepherds resting their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the Shepherdland, and in the cities of Negev, in the cities of Benjamin, the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely, and this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offering, to burn grain offering, and to make sacrifices forever. The book of Job portrays the life of a believer, a man who feared God. He had a beautiful life. He was a rich man who was able to do a lot that he wanted. We read about this story in the book of Job. However, the enemy, who is the devil, approached God to request to attack him, and God gave him the right or the green light to continue with that, and he did it. But God has said you should not touch his soul. You should not kill him. And really, it was a terrible time for Job. He went through sickness. He lost his livestock, all his assets. He lost his children. And even his wife, she actually said, why can't you just curse this God and die? But he was able to hold on to the Lord. He never let go of his faith in the Lord. And God saw this faith, regardless of his friends coming to him to Tell him that what is happening is because he does not obey God, or it is because he does not do as the Lord says, but he continued to hold on to the Lord. When you read towards the end of the book in Job chapter 42, verse 12 to 15, is where you get to understand that God restored Job's life. It was more than at the beginning, the verses say. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters who were the most beautiful, so says the Bible in the book of Job 42, verse 12 to 15. In the previous sermon, part 1, we were looking at God saying, call unto me. He was talking to Israel, that call to me, I will answer and will tell you great and hidden things that you do not know or you never knew. He further said that they should call on him, and that when he restores, people in awe will be in awe and be surprised of the great things that the Lord will do for those whom he loves when they call on him. So today we are taking it further into more details on what God promises. Now we're taking it from verse 10 as we read. Now, Jerusalem, in this time where we are reading, it portrays a situation where Jerusalem was lifeless. There was no life, no occupation. The town which was once the burst was now down. We know that the Bible says in Psalms 132, verse 13, the Bible says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Verse 14 says, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. This is Jerusalem. But now it is suffering from a lot of things. Israel has been taken captive to Babylon. Life is bad. Animals are no longer there. Things are bad. If you read the same chapter, verse 24, it portrays what people were saying. They were ridiculing those, the Israelites. The Bible says, have you not noticed that these people are saying the Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose? That was Judah and Jerusalem. So they despise my people and no longer regard them as a nation. So Israel, or Jerusalem at this particular point in time, was going under something that was really, really bad. They had lost everything. If you read the Bible, it means there was no more livestock. There were no more grazing lands. There were no more people there. There were no more weddings. Things were tough. It was just a situation that was really terrible, pathetic. Things were towards their end. If you further read, you get to understand that the priests and the Levites were also affected by this. There were people who were also affected by the captivity. If you read Deuteronomy 18, verse 1 to 2, you get to understand of the duties of the priests and the Levites that were no longer done. Now they were captured and taken. If you read Ezra chapter 2, you get the list of the people that returned to Jerusalem from the captivity in exile. This means that the priests and the Levites had also been captured, regardless of the fact that they had been chosen by God to serve in the tabernacle. They had been chosen by God to serve in the temple. They were doing things. They were gatekeepers. They were responsible for offering, making sure the fire is always burning. The priest responsible for the atonement and all those great things that they were doing as the children of Israel. But God allowed that they go through a difficult situation. And when they went through that situation, they lost everything. And the Jerusalem city, which God really loved, was now desolate. It was just, there was no life, if I can say like that. You might be a Christian who really loves God, just like Job. You fear God. You believe in the Lord. You do everything that the Bible says. You pray. You read the Bible. You obey the Bible. You act on the word of God. Maybe you are not even someone who commits sin. Maybe we can say that, because the Bible says no one should say he has no sin. That one is a liar. But let's assume you are living a life that is so holy. But it will happen that in this particular time, you suffer as a Christian. God allows you to go through this. It is true for Israel, they had committed sin. These people had committed sin by serving other gods, and God punished them. And then In your life, you might be a righteous person. But on the other hand, it might be someone who has committed sin and God allows you to lose everything. You lose everything. And then if you call on the Lord, he will answer and he will do great things for you. Now, he says to Israel in this pathetic situation where Jerusalem is empty, where there is no more wedding, because even a church that does not have weddings is a problem. It shows there's something wrong. People should get married. There should be children crying in church. There should be youth, the old people, the young ones. That's a church. So in Israel, in Jerusalem at this particular time, things were quiet and nothing was going on. So it was a situation that was really, really bad. Now, God speaks life into this situation. He speaks life. He says, this is what the Lord says. That's verse 20. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night might no longer come at their appointed time, which is something that is impossible. But God now cements what he's saying, that if you can break the covenant of the day and night, to speak the truth, since I was born, there's always been the sun in the morning, and in the sunset, in the day, during day, there will be the sun, and in the night, it will be dark, and there will be stars, and there will be the moon, since I was born. That has not changed. But God says something that is, actually, God is saying something that is impossible, that if he can break that covenant, then what he's saying will not take place. So we serve a God who sticks to his words. We serve a God who what he says, he does. He's a God who's truthful and he's a God who does. Now he's saying, he's speaking life to Israel in the time of desolation, in the time of having nothing. You might be in the time in your life where there is nothing, you feel like you have lost it all. You have lost success. You have lost your loved ones. You have lost your business. You have lost your job. You have lost your career. I mean, things that you were so precious, just like a job, you have lost them. But God says if somebody can stop the day and night covenant, then his words will not come to pass. But since we know that that won't happen, it means his words still stands. Now, God promises, the first thing he promises Jerusalem or Israel, to restore pastures where the shepherds will rest their flocks. That's Jeremiah 33, verse 12. If you talk about the pasture is just land where animals graze, where cattle graze, sheep, they graze. But it also looks beautiful when the grass is green and the land is green and there are pastures. There is life. It indicates life in that environment or in that land. But if we talk about animals, that's where we get our animals, where they graze. And as they graze, they become fat. It means we have food. It provides food. We get milk from the cattle. We get eggs from the chickens. We get a lot from animals. So if the pastures are good, we are able to live. It shows life. If it's dry, like in a desert, you can see there is no life. So God, the first thing he promises, now he promises that he will restore life. He will provide the source of food. Our businesses, our workplace, or our source of income would be strengthened and provided for. They will be fed and resourceful to add a better life for us. So as the pastures do. God promises that he will bring life, he will bring food, he will bring strength, he will bring continuation, he will bring life into you. If you call on him and if you remain in him, because he is God, he's God who is alive. We will see that later. The thing that God also, he promises that flocks that will pass under the hand of the one who counts them. In other words, there will be a lot of sheep, a lot of camel, a lot of cattle, flocks that will be counted now, for God will restore those back to life. If we look to the African context, or even to the life of the people who are agrarian, you get to understand that livestock represents assets. It is a store of value, livestock. As they give birth, you become more wealthier and wealthier. In the African context, we understand it much, much better. Wealth in terms of cattle, it's a source of food. You can sell and buy whatever commodity you need. It provides food for the family. It provides meat, milk, and everything you need for your life. So God promises that he will provide food. He assures us that when we have called on him, he restores and we will have enough food and wealth, for he is our God. When God restores, he will bring food to your table. He will bring you wealth. He will bring you strength. He will bring you health, for he is a God who is alive. When God restores. If we further read the other thing that God restores, he promises Israel a branch sprout on David's line, a king. That is Jeremiah 33, verse 15. He's promising one who is just and right. Whilst this might refer to the king in Israel, to us it refers to our Lord Jesus Christ, the branch of David. Revelations chapter 22 verse 16 says that, the Bible says, Jesus says, I have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. That is our God speaking these words, Jesus Christ. He's the bright morning star. A ruler influences a lot of things. As he governs the country, he has an influence on the lives of the people who live there. So if the ruler is a shrewd man, don't expect the people to live a good life. If the ruler is a good man, people live a good life. So in the life of a person, we need a ruler, because to Israel it was a king, but to us we need someone who will rule our lives, who is so good, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God to control our lives. So when God restores, he will not only restore whatever you have lost, the life and the food, he will also restore the leadership in your life, the rulership of your life, and guide you. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you are a son of God, led by this righteous judge who is our Lord Jesus Christ, you are heading for the right direction. So God says, as he restores, he will also bring a ruler who is God in you, who comes through the Holy Spirit if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get saved and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior, your restoration includes your building up again. You become somebody who is saved and you are an heir of the kingdom of God. Amen. If we read further in chapter 33 of Jeremiah, verse 16, the Bible says, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Three things are revealed by this verse. It talks of salvation, it talks of safety, it talks of the new name for Judah. If you read the Bible in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17, it says, but Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting. Now, this might not be the king that we see, we're talking about, a king, physical king, but we're talking about the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us as our people. He's with an everlasting salvation, something that is eschatological, something that is eternal. It deals with our lives after death. So we become saved when we come to the Lord. Part of the restoration is not only material, but it's also something that pertains to our spiritual life, reconnected to God, realigned to God, repurposed, refocused, realigned to his purpose about us as human beings. Because his purpose is that We live the life on earth as he wants us to, in terms of obeying him, and also be with him in eternity. That's what God desires. That's why he decided to bring his son, his only son, Jesus Christ, to come on this earth to die for us. So as adopted sons through Jesus Christ, he assures us of salvation and safety. We are saved from the everlasting separation from God and the experience of his wrath. But we are made heirs of the heavenly kingdom. That is what God says. The other thing, God talks of safety. If you read Psalms chapter 9, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble." If you talk of a refuge, it is a place of safety from whom attackers cannot pursue. If you're talking about people who come to a country as refugees, they come to that country because they are running away from war. There's war in their country, or people who are pursuing them. They want to kill them. They want to destroy their lives. So these people, they decide, let us go to a safe area where we will live a better life. If you go to that safe area, if you go and just Google and see the rights of refugees, there are so much. They have a right to education, to that country that they are going to, health, legal system, and all things. They have a right. They are safe. You cannot attack them where they are. So God is saying, the Bible says God is a refuge. It is a place where we can go and hide. We hide in God. So he will provide also the safety, a place of refuge. He is also referred to as a stronghold. This is a building or a structure that is safe from attackers. So when you are in the Lord, you are safe from attackers. You are safe from anyone who can attack you or who can destroy you. Now, how does this apply? God says he will be a place of safety. He will be a place, will be saved, and he will be called our righteous God. But I want just to focus on the place of safety. In the time when we are going through this difficult situation of being so alone, feeling lonely and deserted, God, if we stay in him in the place of safety, if we stay in him as the place of refuge, we know that we're in the right place because we are safe. Job was able to stay and focus and know that the God, his Redeemer, lives until the storm was over. Pass through the storm and God will be with you. He will restore what has been lost. Now, the last thing he says, he is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "But it is from him that you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God." The Amplified, I'm reading from the Amplified, which is revealing his plan of salvation. We have talked about salvation. Now that is, and the righteousness that is making us acceptable to God. And sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart for God, and redemption, which is providing our ransom from the penalty of sin. But I want to focus on righteousness making us acceptable to God. The Lord Jesus Christ makes us acceptable to God, if and only if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. So we are not only restored on the physical things. When the Lord restores, we are restored in the physical, which is the pastures, as we have talked, and all those good things, the livestock, which is our wealth. God restores it and will gain. But it extends to our salvation, to our eternity, to the eternal life, and the joys of living with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. For we have to fear him and live for him forever and ever. The last verses that we talked about, God is speaking about men who serve him. In the Old Testament, there are priests and Levites who served in the temple, as I've said earlier. Priests were responsible for keeping the lamps burning before the Lord, burning the incense, and making everything be as God wanted. They were there. But God says there will never be a time that I will cease people that will serve me. But God promises that there will be people, regardless of the bad situation that you see in Jerusalem. Nothing is alive. There is no life. But he says, I will never let people to serve me. In this world that is so desolate, where there is so much dirt, corruption, life is so filthy, and everything that is against God is done, God is promising that they will never cease the people that will serve me, that will preach my gospel. The Levites, people that will sing my music. As we speak today, there are still artists that are born. They write music. They sing music. There are sermons that are written as I speak. They are preached. They are on YouTube. They are internet, and on television, everywhere. It is God. It's not a mistake. It's what he said. He's restoring. He is restoring. So God is at work. Don't think the many churches that are mushrooming is because people are running away from different churches. It might be what you say, but God is fulfilling his word. There will never be a time where there will be no one to preach my word. That's our next session. Let me not go deeper on that. Now, as we come to the end of the service, we all know that God loves us. We might even have been someone who has decided to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But just like Israel, you committed practices that annoyed God, that separated you from God, and God disciplined you. Remember, we had a session that was talking about God disciplines Christians. So God disciplines those whom he loves. So don't be afraid and feel you are rejected by God. God disciplines you because he loves you. It might be sin you committed that drew further you away from God, but remember that God still loves you. It might happen in your life that you are so down, nothing is actually working for you. Just like Zion, which is Jerusalem, people were saying that the Lord has deserted them. They might be saying, the Lord has deserted you. People might be saying, what is the work of your Christian life? Look at what you are. You don't have a car. You don't have a house. You are not married. You are divorced. You don't have, they can call it a lot of things. You don't have money. You don't, your account is low at the bank. You don't have nothing. You don't have houses. You don't land. There is nothing you own. You have lost it all. Where is your Christ? But God will restore. Not only on the physical, on this earth, even eternal. Let us put our trust in him. Remember, in the time, as you go through the time of the storm, as you go through this difficult situation, as you go through this time like Israel experienced, where everything was dry, where everything, there was nothing, and people ridiculing and saying whatever, they kept their faith in him. There was this man by the name of Jeremiah, a prophet, who kept speaking the word of God, this word of life. We have the word, the Bible, which is the word of God that keeps us going. As we read the champions of faith, the people that have kept the faith and we have got victory and got victory on whatever they were going through, God is still the God that Abraham served. He has not changed. The God that Moses served is the same God today. As long as the same sun which I see outside during the day is the same sun that Moses and Abraham and Adam actually saw many, 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 many years, million years ago, if there's a million, they were there. The same God is still alive. Let's hold on to him. We can go through the hard things, but let's hold on to him. Let's make him our refuge, and let's make him our stronghold, and he will restore at the right time. Never make mistake of trying other means and leaving the faith. God will restore. God will restore what you have lost. Well, that's the end of the service today. I believe the message from the Lord has touched you and has given you hope in your life. Don't give up. God has promised great things for us on this earth and beyond. If it does not happen on this earth, at least we know beyond the grave, there is more God has for us, the everlasting life. Let us keep our faith in him. That is my wish, that as Christians and as believers, let's hold on regardless of what we experience in this life. For God promises the great our salvation is there for us. God willing, let's meet next time. Goodbye.